Hey there, and welcome back to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. This is part two of a series where I interviewed registered nurse and fellow fitness professional Macy Cooper. If you haven't already, I encourage you to go back and listen to part one, that's episode 159, where Macy really shares a lot more of her background in nursing, and we touch on COVID, but this episode is where we're really going to dive into a little bit more of the science behind COVID and really some action steps to help you filter the media that you consume. What are the facts? What is it that she is seeing in the field, and how we can avoid really just this overwhelm when it comes to this pandemic, and how can we learn to take care of ourselves first, right? Because we know that if we don't take care of ourselves, it's really hard to take care of others. So if you haven't already, go back, listen to that episode, and then jump on into this episode. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about their relationship with food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears. So what are some things that you've done, or any tips that you found to help you avoid burnout, right? Because I know for me personally, not even dealing with COVID in my first year working in the field, it was just like, I remember getting to points where I was like, I hate work, and just in this burnout mode. And yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been working for 8 months. How do people work for 40 years in the same job? And I remember just like going crazy and really just like in that negative, almost like spiraling down. And every day is like, I don't want to go to work. I don't want to do this X, Y, Z. So what are tips that you've done to avoid burnout and continue to avoid that?
Absolutely. I had a period of time where I think I went through a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. And because like what we're doing every single day, I mean, I'll be honest. Some days I am elbows deep in human feces. Or the beginning of the pandemic, I had a patient throw literal human feces at me down a hallway. And I'm like, we're dealing with a pandemic, man. What are you doing?
Literally, and getting shit thrown at me.
Literally. Oh my gosh. Some days, and so yeah. I was just at this point where I wanted to like shake the world and say, what is going on?
Yeah. What's happening?
And you have patients that they might have COVID and they don't care. And they're just going to be the biggest jerk in the world because they feel like life is screwing them. Mm-hmm. And you want to be like, hey man, me too. Like, let's work together here. But sometimes, you know, whether it's mental status or situational or whatever the case may be, they're not on the same level as you are, and you get treated very, very poorly, but you're expected to still go above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And so that wore on me really hard, and I wanted to be like, you jerkwad, I'm not helping you. But you can't.
Don't piss off your nurse listeners. That's
exactly exactly. Like, I'm gonna walk a little bit slower to come help you if I know when I walk in there, you're going to be swearing at me in profanities and vulgar terms, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, and that really was something that was kind of a turning point for me, where I was like, you know, even if I have one real stinker, I might have four of the sweetest other patients in the entire world. Mm-hmm. But that one patient that's being a jerkwad is the one that's going to stick with me. And they make it personal sometimes, where it's like, it's not, they're yelling because they're angry, they're yelling at you. And when it's coming at you like that, it's so easy to take personally.
Yeah, it feels personal, even if
it feels very personal. And so I got to the point where I was like, you know what, I need to be able to see more of the other stuff that's going around me. Maybe I have another really fantastic patient that gave me a cookie because they thought I was doing a great job. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they just like smiled and said, thank you so much for being here. I know you're not getting hazardous pay. I really want to go out of my way to say, thank you so much for being here and showing up to work today. And a lot of patients have that attitude where they said, I know that I had some extenuating circumstances that brought me here, but you still chose to show up to work. And I think that's great. Mm-hmm. And so I started writing down in my planner at least one positive thing that happened to me someday. And some days it was, I got 10 minutes extra of sleep. And Exactly. Or some days it was like, hey, I went to the grocery store and they had really good apples and I bought these apples and they taste delicious or whatever. And it wasn't always something that was big, but it was something that kind of started like, okay, Seymour. Like, mm-hmm. okay, it might feel terrible, but was there a patient that said, hey, you really impacted me and that really mattered? Mm-hmm. And so even things like that, or when I would float to a unit, sometimes they give you a piece of candy. And like, sometimes my positive thing was they gave me my favorite candy just by happenstance and it was great. Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes, you know, maybe you have more positive things that you can find in your day and maybe not. And maybe you sit down at the end of the day and say, maybe I haven't had something that's been great, but you still have the time in your day to change it. Okay. Do something you enjoy. Call someone that you haven't been able to see because of COVID. Call someone you haven't talked to since college. Call someone you haven't talked to since high school. And mm-hmm. just be able to say, hey, like, I appreciate whatever you're doing. Because I think that we have this idea of the frontline essential workers. But guess what? We're all still working. We're all mm-hmm. still doing something. We're all still trying to cope in our own way. Even if that is, I'm just staying home. I can't work from home. My work just sent me home. We're all doing something. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's important to know that all of us have a role and all of us have had to play that role differently.
Yeah. I don't know if you, I'd love to hear your kind of thoughts and opinions on this of throughout this time and throughout quarantine, I've read some things on social media about being too positive and cheerleader isn't always most helpful. And part of me reading that, it kind of hurt me. I was like, oh, you know, maybe you're right. Yeah. Like, you know, being an optimist maybe isn't always the best thing. But I think I agree with where you're coming from is it's a decision. Are we saying that we show up 100% feeling happy, go lucky all day, every day? No, we have days that are horrible and you feel the emotions, but it's making a decision and focusing to see the good, to focus on the good and stay positive when you can and recognize mm-hmm. that some days aren't going to be as good, but you just start a new day and choose to be grateful because mm-hmm. what's the alternative?
Exactly. And I had some days where I woke up and I was just angry. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was angry. And every little thing was ticking me off even more, but I knew that, okay, everything in the world is making me like irritated. It's not everybody else. It's me. Mm. And being able to say like,
so true.
It's like you stared at me and it was loud. Like, no, I know it's me. I know that like the way you looked at me made me mad.
Like, I hate that when you're just like literally anything anyone does makes me mad. Okay. Yeah. Yes. That's so important to remember that that's a red flag that is 100% me and mm-hmm. not the person who just looked at me.
Like someone put on their blinker and they didn't move fast enough. It ticked me off. Guess what? They still use their blinker. Chill out, Macy.
Right.
Like.
Right. Yeah. That's so, so powerful. So I want to, you know, before we wrap up to this, has been just so, I think, helpful just hearing your story and hearing your journey. But I know you've spent some time, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you're still in this, but you've been doing triage where you're essentially talking about COVID again
all day long.
And I hate to ask you. So first of all, thank you for just jumping on a podcast to talk more about COVID.
Yes.
That's what I don't want to talk about, but you're so positive and it makes me happy just hearing your voice. So what are some of the common questions that you get about COVID?
Yes.
And I just want our listeners to hear from a professional, like Macy said, who's been following this since December. Okay. What are just the few main things, if you had to summarize about COVID that literally everybody should know and accept as facts, like you are a trusted source.
So all of the information, and I'll send all of this to you, Katie, of kind of what you should be looking out for, as well as like, how can you be up to date on everything? So everything that I talk about all day long is almost verbatim from the CDC. Mm-hmm. And there's almost zero business confidential information that I am giving to patients even that would call into my line. But mm-hmm. the biggest thing that I would say that I am getting is people that are calling and they're frantic and they're like, I have a friend of a friend that was exposed and I might have been exposed. Oh my gosh, I need a test.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thing is like, okay, well, let's talk about it a little bit. So did you actually come into contact with this person? Well, no, but they were in contact and I was with this XYZ. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm a little less concerned now. So it's a friend of a friend. Okay. The way the incubation periods work here. So if I were to come in contact right now at this very moment, and I know I am going to 100% have COVID, if I were to take a test right now, it'd be negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I might actually still have COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is within 48 hours is the earliest time that we can test.
Mm-hmm.
And so once that incubation period hits that 48 hours, you are then able to shed the virus. With that being said, you may not be symptomatic. And so the idea behind, we really want to test when people are symptomatic.
What does that mean, shed the virus?
Yeah, so the thing that we do know about this virus is that it is transmitted primarily through respiratory droplets. And so we have high risk and low risk aerosolizing procedures. For example, our high risk aerosolizing procedures are going to be like a nebulizer, a breathing treatment, any invasive respiratory procedure like a ventilator is going to release these droplets in the air. And when I say these droplets, I don't mean someone sneezing, someone coughing. Like you and I are in our bubbles virtually, obviously, mm-hmm. but as we're talking even, we're creating a bubble of respiratory droplets.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people are like, well, this is like the flu, actually, the respiratory droplets are very different as far as the flu to coronavirus because they are different viral families, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So COVID comes from the SARS family. And we've seen SARS and MERS. And I always say that this isn't a new virus. Coronavirus mm-hmm. has been around. It has been documented even into the 80s.
Mm.
And so when people are like, oh my gosh, this brand new virus, it's probably been grown in a lab for a very, very long time. And I say that because we also have the plague. We have smallpox, anthrax, all of these really scary viruses
mm-hmm.
that we grow in a lab to know what would happen if they came back to being in people. And so we have these droplets that we're secreting as we're talking, as we're going through everyday life. And so the idea behind, okay, let's have outside activities. If we're going to be taking our masks off and stuff, being outside is relatively safe in my professional opinion and from the research that I've done on my own, because whenever you're outside, the humidity is at usually a different humidity than when you're inside. When you're inside, it's usually very low, especially in a hospital-like setting.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're outside, there is heat and there's almost always wind.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be the key here. And so the wind is going to disseminate all of the
droplets.
Exactly. And whereas you're inside, there's usually no wind. You have circulating air that's being recirculated with whatever particles it has.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea behind, as we're quote unquote shedding our droplets, if we're outside, the wind's going to carry them, and that's going to be a relatively safe environment for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea behind masking as well as social distancing, from the research that I've also seen on this, is that as we're shedding our viruses, if I am masked and you are masked and we are 6 feet apart, no substitutes here, which is the biggest thing in my opinion. So I can't, if I have my mask on, I can invade your space. No. Mask on, both of us, and remaining 6 feet apart. We're talking transmission, even if both parties are actively shedding COVID, we're talking transmission is lower than 5%.
Mm.
We're talking a very, very low transmission. And we're also talking about a virus that outside of the human body is actually not very hard to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the wind factor. The virus can't just live in a droplet. It needs a host. We happen to be a very good host, unfortunately. But we're talking I remember early on, it was like, it can live on wood for 10 days.
Yeah.
They're actually finding it can't live that long. You give it optimal conditions and you give it like a food source of some sort. Yeah, sure, it can live 10 days. But they're seeing that for the most part, it can live longer. Like, it can't live longer than the flu. And so you even just like soap and water or a Clorox wipe, it's really quick.
So do you think that's maybe why people are feel so confused about everything? Because it's new, because we're learning more, right? At first it was like masks, no masks. And now there's, now some cities are mandating masks, but not all of them. So explain to us a little bit more about the confusion and help people feel less confused.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, being in the medical field, there were even periods of time where I was like, what are we talking about? Mm-hmm. But we had this media panic. Mm-hmm. We had an absolute panic because, like I said before, we had way more question marks than we had statements. We had all these question marks, and the what ifs were running more rampant than this virus. Mm-hmm. And so it's now it comes becomes very hard to go out of your way to try and listen to the news because you're like, I don't want to hear, I want to hear information. I don't want to hear counts because guess what? The counts aren't going to change like me living or me dying. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we've become very fixated on this state is doing this and this state is doing this. In reality, we need to be talking about, let's prevent the virus. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of come on the opposite side of the spectrum and let's focus on prevention and keeping ourselves safe and having access to reliable information. So this media panic has created almost invalidating some trust in almost the consumerism that is media. Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard to go out of your way to find reliable information. And my idea in my head, it's almost comical. If I were to fall and break my arm, I'm not going to turn on Fox News, CNN, the Today Show to try and say, what do I do?
Right.
No, you would not do that. You would probably fire up your Google machine.
You'd GTS. You'd Google that shit.
Yeah. You fire up that Google machine and you start clicky click. And whether you're looking on reliable sources or not, you'd probably be able to get some information.
Right.
And usually it's not going to be a news source that's providing you this information. Mm-hmm. And so that's also a hard part as a medical professional, because guess what? Hospitals don't have TV channels. Hospitals don't have newspapers. And mm-hmm. so it's really hard for the medical field to get reliable information out there when we're focusing on counts, we're focusing on numbers. So it's really, really challenging. And I'll even have people call into my line and I'll say, okay, do you have any COVID-related symptoms? And they'll say, I don't know what they are. Mm-hmm. Or they'll say, well, I don't have a fever. And I'll go through a list of 10 or 15 other symptoms. And they'll say, I had no idea nausea and vomiting was part of this. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that I lost my sense of smell and that could be COVID. Mm. Or different things that just we have a really big lag in what media is giving to the general public to try and prevent as well as have earlier detection of if you have it or not.
Right. And I think remembering too that that is literally the media's job is to get people to watch. And so they will magnify things. I mean, they do this with nutrition. That is what they
absolutely
do. I've been interviewed on numerous media outlets taught like on a very specific, you know, one nugget of information that they get from a study and they try to make this whole segment of it. So what I'm hearing from you is for anyone listening, you should feel empowered that you are smart, you are educated, you literally can have access to the internet, you can Google, we will link to credible resources. And rather than getting caught up in what the media is saying, because I think that, like you said, that contributes to that fatigue of all of this, is if you want to know something, go look it up yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I am more than welcome to answer any questions. And I have had complete strangers, like I'll talk about on my story, kind of like little tidbits here and there, things that I like to do, things that I'm learning even.
Right.
And I've had complete strangers reach out to me and say, hey, we've had a potential exposure. What should we do? What are we looking for? Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a PCR test and a blood test? Things like that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think that's helpful for people to just like hear from you. You know, you're talking about, that's the other thing. If you're feeling overwhelmed by this, don't just go ask your mom or like your friend, you know, ask somebody who really understands, or do the research yourself and don't turn to, I think I saw something on the internet this morning, actually, that was like, it made up some statistic and then something ridiculous. And then at the bottom, it said, just kidding, I just made this meme in 5 minutes on Canva. Like, this is just anybody could make these images that can
absolutely
go viral and circulate. And so remembering that social media is not a news source.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I don't have cable, and I have a work setting now where I don't have patients that have the TV on that I can hear, you know? Mm-hmm. So I have to very much go out of my way to seek out news. And it's almost kind of, it's kind of nice living in my little utopia, but at the same time, I now, working in COVID directly, I can't be an ignorant consumer anymore. I can't live in my bubble. Mm-hmm. And I think that the way that I balance that, because it's so easy to get into this rabbit hole of, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what's happening? What I always do is, so I'm not a runner like you, Katie.
Depends on the day. Right now I am. I'm in the season of running, but ask me in a month.
I love it. But I probably couldn't run longer than 15 minutes, maybe 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes, absolute max for me. But I kind of judge, if I'm going out to seek out my media, seek out COVID or any news in my area, anything that might provoke anxiety, even, I will only do it as long as I could run. Mm. And I do running as a health and fitness outlet. Mm-hmm. And to keep myself, like my mind, my body safe. And that's kind of like what I have applied to media is love, like, that. I couldn't sit there for 2 or 3 hours and run. I absolutely couldn't do that. And for some people, they might be like, yeah, I'm an absolute avid runner. Props to you. But maybe finding something that, like, if you're saying, you know, I couldn't swim in the ocean for longer than 20 minutes, you know, whatever the case may be, like, that's your body saying that's enough.
Right.
And so we have to set those limits in something that is a little bit different. And so that's something that it's super easy to go down those rabbit holes and kind of like create our own panic even sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a way that I've been able to judge and gauge how much is too much.
It's setting boundaries, right? It's setting boundaries in what you consume. It's like recognizing, okay, what do I need to know? I can be informed, but I can do so without losing my mind. So, you know, I think you're talking about running. I think of like, okay, well, maybe I can run in bursts. I can't run for the full distance anymore, but as long as a burst that I can run should be the longest that I listen to.
Or just, you know, if you have an app, I personally love the BBC app, because
I was just going to ask if you had any like specific like things that you do that kind of keep you on the pulse regularly, but trusted and help you feel more informed versus overwhelmed about things.
Absolutely. And being that we have two very vastly different political views on something that's actually completely science-based ticks me off.
That's a whole nother like podcast that we could talk about.
Right.
But I'm proud of myself. I'm ashamed, but also proud of myself at how much I have learned about politics since this whole started, because I just didn't know that. Yeah. Like I said, whole nother. So if you're listening and you're like, what am I talking about? Shoot us a message and like, maybe we'll have to hop on for it, but I'm not trying to turn Fit Friends Happy Hour into a political.
Oh, exactly.
But go on. So your point is, explain what your point was, because I get you're going.
They're very vastly different outlooks on, hey, put on a mask, be respectful, versus you're taking my rights. I don't care about the virus. I'm not putting on a mask. Mm-hmm. For me personally, from a scientific outlook, ignorance is not bliss at this point. Ignorance could equal death. Mm-hmm. So, and that's something that is just like the scary naked truth. And so I have gone to completely non-political platforms. And so I have found myself, I love the BBC app, which is completely non-political, but also not even based in the United States. So
number one, it's a great point. You're getting
really good information from around the world. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the United States is doing blah, 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 blah. Because the reality is we're not doing a good job. Mm-hmm. We're not, we're just straight up not. And so there are other places that are producing really great vaccine research. They're producing really great information about what's changing. The fact that, okay, the virus is changing every 2 weeks. We know that every virus does that. But they're also being able to give you reliable information of, hey, the virus changed. It's not important. Because no one in the United States is talking about mutations that are insignificant. They're talking about mutations that make it scarier. Mm-hmm. Because the reality of the way a virus works, if it's mutating every 2 weeks, it's mutating in a way that keeps it to be able to survive longer, but also makes it less and less deadly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So finding ways to like get that information. And I also have an app, I believe it's called Newsbreak. And it also keeps me up to date on, it compiles all of the platforms in my current area and mm-hmm. sends me notifications on, hey, this happened on First Street and Second Street. Avoid the area. There was a big accident. And so it'll mm-hmm. send me little notifications and it's kind of like little tidbits. And every now and then I'll be like, oh, I didn't hear about that. That sounds like something I really need to know. I'll click on it, read the article, close the app.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the skim?
On the skim, what is this?
You've never heard of the skim?
I have not. What is this?
That is how I consume my information. So it was created by two females. I don't even know where they're based out of, but they send you emails. I think they have an app too, but I get the emails on the days that I work at the hospital. So you can get them 5 days a week, but they basically summarize world news, but they make it really funny.
Oh, I love it.
But it's very informative and very, you know, high level. This is kind of an overview of everything that's happening in the world, but they add like funny, sarcastic pieces to
it. I love it. Because in reality, it doesn't have to be that heavy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know about you, maybe you grew up a little bit sooner than me by going to nursing school, but this pandemic has at least forced me to feel, at first I felt really, and I guess it comes in days, but feel really overwhelmed by everything, but also to the point of, okay, if you're feeling overwhelmed, do something about it. We are adult women now who are listening mm-hmm. to this podcast. Like, the beautiful thing about being an adult is you can make your own decisions, you can set up those boundaries, and you can get informed. And so stop crying about it. Stop feeling bad and sad. You can do it for a day or two, but then do something. Get informed. Yeah. Learn. Yeah. Understand. Like,
mm-hmm.
because I think that does so much for our attitudes too.
Yeah. I think that's something that has been something that people are kind of realizing is that, like, I am intelligent and I don't like what I'm hearing because I'm not hearing what I want to hear. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not hearing information about actual current events. I'm hearing information about like people throwing a temper tantrum in the grocery store. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that like being able to say like again, hey, I don't really know. Macy, I heard you talking about a couple of symptoms earlier and I actually didn't know that. Let mm-hmm. me figure out what else do I not know?
Mm-hmm. I think we could say the same about this conversation, what we're talking about, the same with the Black Lives Matter movement too. Cause I know that we've been on the same page about that and posting about it and talking about it is that we're adults now and it's time for us just as Americans, as humans, as females to stop being ignorant. And if it's an area that makes you uncomfortable or makes you feel overwhelmed, instead of running away from it, lean in. Don't lean too far in because then you'll run away again. But
don't fall in.
Right. Don't fall in, but lean in. Lean into that discomfort and learn from it because I think if it makes us uncomfortable, there's a reason for that.
Right. Exactly. Because our growth areas are never something that we want to expose on our forefront. And so saying like, hey, actually I grew up in a family that like doesn't see the world this way. But I don't know how else to see the world. Like, how else am I supposed to see it? Well, change your view, turn around, look at it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. Macy, I think this is maybe the longest podcast recording I've ever done. Then we may need to split this up into two because this is so good. But I feel like I could just talk to you for hours. Yes. And it's been such a joy to just hear. I love your attitude. I love your perception on things. You're funny, you're light, but you also keep it real. And that's what I appreciate about you as a human. So
absolutely.
As I always love to ask this question because I think it's important. Like we said, we're going to choose to focus on the good. So share with us. I know it's only Tuesday at the time of this recording, but what is the best thing that's happened to you this week? Or this is your weekend. So you can look
at this is my weekend.
Like yeah. Last week.
Yeah. So actually something that I've gotten into during this pandemic, that is something that like, it never talks back. Nobody ever judges me. I have gotten super into plants.
I love it.
And I'm really not good at it. I'm really not. I talk to these plants at the store and I'll be like, hey, you want to come home and die with me? This will be fun.
We have like two plants that are barely surviving.
I love it. So I've gotten super into plants during this pandemic as something I enjoy. But my parents actually were in town on Saturday. So that was like my week when I was working. Mm-hmm. And I was working kind of an off weird shift, like 11 in the morning to 11 at night. But it worked out because I was able to go to my farmer's market with my family.
Aww.
And so I was able to safely socially distance. And what I do love about kind of living in a medical utopia is I did not see a single person without a mask that was not social distancing at this farmer's market. And everyone definitely takes it seriously. I love that my family is all taking it seriously, which is something that it shouldn't be like a question. It should be, we all are. We all care. We all want to live. We all want our grandparents to live. Mm-hmm. But something that happened that great to me this week was my family got to go to the farmer's market with me and we absolutely had a blast. And then I picked up some plants to come home and maybe die with me.
But it doesn't matter because in the moment they made you happy.
They made me so happy and they were things that I'd been looking for forever. I was so excited to like show my family kind of like, hey, this is my local farmer's market. And they were like, I've never seen so many people wearing masks and distancing in the whole pandemic.
Yeah, it makes you feel good to know that your community is on the right. Got their heads on straight.
Exactly. Even in an outdoor setting, everyone was wearing masks and cared, which it feels beautiful that you're surrounded by people that even though they have a mask on and aren't smiling, they're smiling in a way that says, I care about you and your health too.
Yeah. It's a sign. It's a symbol for sure. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, we will be sure to link to everything in the show notes that we talked about today, but before we let you go, share with listeners, what is the best way to find you? Where do you hang out? I know you post things fitness, she posts workouts, she put like yeah. her posts her plants, makes you laugh, also oh, yeah. informs you.
So you can find me on Instagram at Macy, just like the store. So Macy Cooper is my Instagram name. And then I also have my blog platform that's macymarina.com. And I usually post a little bit more in depth on there. And I think after this, I should do a COVID post also. So head over there soon and hopefully I'll have some extra bonus information.
And if she finishes it in a week, we will get it linked up to these show notes, but we'll definitely Beautiful. Post about it and tag you on social for sure.
Love it.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. We so appreciate your time. You being here and listening and subscribing means the freaking world. So if you could do us a huge favor, take a screenshot of this episode. If you're listening to it on your phone, tag us on Instagram at Fit Friends Happy Hour, and we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.